This week, the one-star SEC Spring Tour powers on. How to hire and hang on to great coaches, this day and age in particular. Facility upgrades, timelines, chicken tenders at the Grove. Get excited. The one-stars are in the beautiful tree-lined college town of Oxford with our guy, Ole Miss AD, Keith Carter.
This episode of One Star Recruits, as always, is brought to you by 500level.com. This week, it's the go-to place for all the Ole Miss players in the NFL. They got t-shirts, DK Metcalf, Dawson Knox, AJ Brown, DK, some great Rebels. They even have some beautiful State of Mississippi t-shirts on the site. Get 20% off everything with the discount code PODCAST at checkout. Let's go!
Hey, this is Keith Carter, Athletics Director at Ole Miss. I'm on with the One Star Podcast and had a great time today. Hotty toddy and go Rebs.
Yo, aloha. A big key to keeping great coaches around is a great food scene. And I've heard beyond the food at the Grove, which for being a tailgate party, is probably the classiest tailgate setup I've ever seen pictures of or looked at. Very, very classy outing to tailgate and do a football event. We'll call it a football event in Oxford. Kind of a sleeping hidden gem of a food scene, Rip. There's this area called The Square. I originally learned about it from my guy, Ben Mitzi. He's a barstool guy, big Rebel supporter. But The Square, and it's like a foodie's kind of dream lineup of this diverse food from a college town that you wouldn't think would be in a northern Mississippi town, but it's there. The campus looks really good. They got a place called Rebel Market and the grill at 1810. Probably see Lane Kiffin eating there. It's like legit on-food campus food, Rip. You went to Arizona State University. Your favorite on-campus food was a mini pepperoni pizza from Pizza Hut.
It's true. We're one stars there, and there's also zero chance I'm making it out of the Grove to get in the game. So you'll have to tell me what happened after. But if we can bring our one star mentality down to the Grove, we got an invitation from Keith Carter coming up on this interview. It was a good feeling to have him invite the one stars down there. You might see some one star recruits t-shirts in Oxford pretty soon.
It's 100% on the list. It's one of those places. And I said the algorithm already got me, started spitting out Taylor Grocery and Snack Bar and these things. It looks like there's some good pizzas laying around all over the place. They get it. I think one of our athletic directors even said it in a prior episode when they say the populations of some of these towns and then what it becomes on game day, this kind of this balloon effect of the city. And that's mixed with the college town. You get all this interesting things to do. People have to have places to eat, things to do. Oxford's it. It looks beautiful. It's kind of known as a writer city, a place for authors to go write back in the day. I think it's becoming into a football and food town. And so sign me up for that shit any day of the week. Fried catfish, sign me up.
A town of 25,000, you got 65,000 at Vaught Hemingway and probably 100,000 people in the surrounding areas on game day. I live in Los Angeles. We have 10 million people. We can't even get 10,000 out to the UCLA stadium. It's ridiculous. But that just shows the difference right there between the South and the West Coast. And we talked about it a lot with Keith Carter. It's a fun interview. I'm happy about these SEC ADs, DK. We got four of them in a row.
I mean, right off the bat, the AD stuff is great. This is a really actually excellent top five for me. Uniform, Jersey town for me. I love and have always loved the Ole Miss powder blue and navy helmets. You know what? Come to think of it, just as a community, as a sports community as a whole, you agree or disagree? We love powder blue, don't we? Like, right? Are you correct in saying that? The old Houston Oiler powder blues come up on a group chat once a week, no doubt, easily. The San Diego Chargers powder blue, anytime you're around a Chargers person, they're going to mention it no matter what. You could be talking about something completely accounting and they would mention, you know, the powder blues should be over in your dividend side. Maybe, you know what I mean? Rip, is that crazy thought? We just love powder blue. Bring it on, powder blue.
No, they're very photogenic and probably because they're a little bit more rare. The kids call it drip these days. Yeah, some of the uniforms coming out now, if you have powder blue, you have a leg up on everybody.
Swag level's pretty high. The fans got to be excited to see Henry Parrish Jr. coming back from Miami in that powder blue helmet. Some thunder and lightning with Ulysses Bentley. I believe the six. What a name, Rip. Amazing backfield that Coach Kiffin's kind of putting together a little bit. We lost some guys. The portal's crazy. We talk about it. Judgekins is gone. Ohio State, see you. Bring back Parrish. Put him in the red uniform with the blue helmet. Let him go a little bit wild. for the second time in really many years. You know what, Rip? My last take on the jerseys, I think I'm going to pay more attention to the Running Rebels. I think they're kind of like the Oregon Ducks of the SEC. I really think they do a lot of different combos that we sleep on. Usually this kickoff for us, we're West Coast guys. This is a morning kickoff game. I'm still cleaning the sleep out of my eyes.
It'll wake you up fast, though. That offense is firing on all cylinders. They finished number 9 in the final AP poll last year. And if you look at all the preseason rankings, and especially with the 12-team college football playoff, it's going to be hard not to get the Rebels in that top 12 and in the playoff next year. So we're looking forward to big things down in Oxford in 2024. And a big part of it is keeping these coaches. We talk about it with Keith Carter, DK. It's Chris Beard. It's Lane Kiffin. They got offers to go to bigger places, but they stayed in Oxford. That's the key. The AD is doing a great job. Everybody, enjoy this interview with your AD, the people's AD, Keith Carter. Now joining the One Star Recruits podcast, we have a husband, a father, a native of Perryville, Arkansas, an Italian basketball legend, and currently the vice chancellor for intercollegiate athletics at the University of Mississippi. Keith Carter is on with the One Star Recruits. Thanks for hopping on, Keith.
Absolutely. Thanks for that introduction. That's a little strong, though.
Italian basketball legend. We'll talk about that in a minute, but I want to start off with another fun fact. You and I share a birthday, October 17th. Believe it or not, we're not the most famous people born on that day. I'm going to drop a few musicians here. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but we share birthdays with Eminem, Alan Jackson, country singer, Ziggy Marley, Wyclef Jean. Which of those is the most likely to hit Keith Carter's playlist on a spring day working out down in Oxford? I'm going to list them again. Eminem, Alan Jackson, Ziggy Marley, and Wyclef Jean.
Probably Alan Jackson. I'm kind of a country music guy, and I kind of grew up in that 90s country with Alan Jackson. But Eminem would probably be a close second. He's got some, obviously got some jams as well.
Yeah, you got to hit like a 5.5 on the treadmill, maybe a little Lose Yourself, Eminem guy. Nice.
That's right.
Man. You've made some amazing coaching hires in 5 years as an AD. Congrats down at Oxford. Most high profile guys, we know Lane Kiffin, Chris Beard. Success is tough and kind of it's tough to hold on to these great coaches we're noticing. Most recently, we saw Arkansas and Hunter kind of move things around. They were hot off after Beard, we thought, for a little bit. It's a challenging part of the job, like, no doubt. What are keys to success to keep those top coaches at Ole Miss this day and age?
Well, you know, I think that's a great question, and so true. You know, I mean, you got this world of the transfer portal with the student athletes, but, you know, also coaches, you know, they get opportunities. And, you know, at Ole Miss, what we've really tried to focus on and become is a destination place. You know, I think if you look at Ole Miss over the years, there's been some coaches that have been here and they've maybe used Ole Miss to maybe build the resume and go to the next stop and those type of things. But, you know, I think you've seen with Coach Kiffin, you know, staying here and Coach Beard staying here and others, you know, we've got other coaches in some of our Olympic sports that have, you know, won national championships and had other opportunities and they've stayed here in Oxford. So, you know, that's been a real goal of mine. I mean, I think hiring coaches is difficult. You know, it's a 50-50 proposition at best. And when you get a good coach, there's value to keeping that coach. It's going to maybe cost you a little more money and some more resources and those type of things. But I think that the other side of that is there's much more risk in having to go out and do it all over again and rebuild, you know, that type of thing. So obviously very happy that, you know, Coach Kiffin's here, Coach Beard decided to stay, and feel like we probably have the best group of head coaches that we've probably ever had at Ole Miss right now.
Really unbelievable. You're doing so well. And then we sleep on kind of the core of this thing a little bit, which is guys like Coach B, 1,000 wins. Congratulations, Mike Bianco. And I hear the stories, amazing social, a tweet that came out of his ex-players. Then you really remember how these guys touch and change lives forever, not just for 2, 3, 4 years, man. Really amazing. Really amazing what you've built there. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. And you know, Coach B is, he's like no other. You know, he's a great coach, obviously, but he's a great person. And I think I loved reading all the retweets and quote tweets that his former players had, and obviously loved the little video that our department did with some of the former guys. But it does. It kind of brings everything back to center when you you hear young people talk about a coach and how they, you know, built into their lives, and whether it's me as the AD or coaches we have here, like, we have a real responsibility to these student athletes. And I know, you know, it's getting to the point where it's becoming a little bit more like a business with the NIL and all this stuff. But at the core of it, these young people still want to come. They want to have a great college experience. They want to compete. And ultimately, they want to grow from, you know, a young lady or a young man into a, you know, an adult. And we have a real responsibility to help them do that.
It's a hard job. NIL has made it, I don't know, harder, but different. It's a hot topic, especially this time of year. Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves last week just signed NIL legislation that goes into effect, I think, immediately, I believe. What do you anticipate to be the biggest changes at Ole Miss as a result of this bill?
Well, we were able to help kind of craft, you know, the bill and some of the language in it, and worked with Mississippi State and Southern Miss and others. And, you know, I think, you know, you look around the country and you got all these different state NIL laws, and every state's trying to kind of one up the next state. And then you're trying to keep up with maybe a state that changed their law last year and those type of things. So, you know, our state legislators and the, you know, the Senate and the House, they did an awesome job of getting that thing through. And then the governor signed it, and it is effective immediately upon his signature. So, you know, I think it'll give us an opportunity as an institution to play a little bit bigger role in the NIL space, which will be good. And, you know, I think it's just such a changing landscape. Literally every day, you know, there's something that comes out that's new and fresh. And I feel like at Ole Miss, we've tried to play it, you know, play ahead and be a first mover in the space. And we're trying to do that with this state law as well.
Yeah, it's really, it's you guys, I want to say it. I don't say this enough, and Rip knows it. It's the wild, wild west. We'll read about this AD cohort in the history books, because every week it's changing. You're setting new trails every single week with this. And it's interesting to watch. And I'm glad we have a ton of smart people, to be honest. As Rip and I have been on this kind of tour of athletic directors, my biggest takeaway is this is hard and challenging, but we have the right people doing it, you know, and it's guys like you. It's really hard. And the fans really, really notice, man. I mean, they're curious about the revenue sharing. They're curious about the future of college football. Big things as normal. The SEC is probably the most powerful conference in the country. Has there been any talk of anything bigger? Do you see any Super League concept in the sky? Do you see the next evolution in this hard job that you guys have in this development every week of the next evolution of this thing?
Well, first of all, I don't feel very smart a lot of days when we're having, you know, all these questions and meetings about it. But you are right. I mean, the right people are working on it. You know, obviously we have one of the most dynamic leaders in the country, and Greg Sankey here in the SEC. He has a, you know, a big voice in all these discussions. And, you know, we get an opportunity to work with him on a weekly basis and kind of talk through where we think the college, you know, model should go. And I do think the SEC will be a big player in that, along with the Big Ten and others. But, you know, we feel like with what the SEC has been able to accomplish over the last several years and the market, you know, brand that we've kind of created, that we need to be the ones that are, you know, kind of setting the narrative of where we're going rather than being told, you know, what that's going to look like. So there's some work behind the scenes that, you know, we're working on that. But yes, I think we're looking at a pretty monumental shift. You know, we've already seen a lot with the conference realignment and, you know, some schools and conferences that maybe we never thought would be there. But it's going to be really cool. And I do think that while it is a big, big challenge, I do think that they're, you know, the set of ADs and commissioners and the folks that are in it right now, we all look at it as a really big opportunity to really set what college athletics is going to look like for the, you know, for the foreseeable future.
We need you to set pace. Rip and I were Pac-12 guys. We were Arizona State guys. We need the SEC to set pace. We don't even know what's going on out here.
Well, it's, you know, it's going to be so interesting to see some of these matchups, you know, new conference matchups, you know, that we maybe thought we would never see. And I, you know, I hate it for the Pac-12. I mean, you know, so much history and just so many great games and rivalries and you know, years and years and decades of this. And now kind of overnight it's gone. So you hate to see that. But, you know, the thing is, we all know that change is a part of everything. And if you don't accept it and try to push forward, then you fall way behind.
It's evolution, and we got the 12-team playoff coming this year. And a lot of fans, if you talk about closer to home down in Oxford, facilities upgrades are always top of mind with the Rebels fans, Rebel Nation. Are there any plans for further upgrades to Vaught-Hemingway? Any of those meetings you're in, is that on the roadmap?
Well, we launched a campaign a couple of years ago when we were at the Sugar Bowl, and we had a big renovation in that campaign on the west side of our stadium. It was going to be about a $300 million renovation. And about 6 months later, that's when all the NIL stuff just hit hard. And so we actually put that on the shelf, and we kind of put, press pause on that for now. But that would be our when we go back to that, that would probably be our next big piece there. And really, that would be tearing down the west side of our stadium and pretty much starting over there with new, suites and premium areas and all those amenities. And we have about 65,000 in our stadium, which we might end up adding a little bit to that, but we think that's probably a sweet spot for us. I think with every game being on TV now and trying to make sure you're filling your stadiums, it's getting harder and harder to do. So as we continue to build, we may grow a little bit, but we'll look at more premium areas and those type of things. But yes, you hit it on the head. I mean, if you're not constantly moving forward in the facility game, you're falling behind every single day. We just did a $45 million renovation to our Manning Center, which is our indoor practice facility for football. New locker room, new weight room, a lot of new amenities over there for the student athletes and coaches. And they got in that this past August, right before the season started. So that's kind of our latest football upgrade. We're building a new softball stadium that will be ready next year. Your renovations to our baseball stadium to add some premium seating there, golf, tennis, some of our women's sports over in our Gillum Center as well. So we've got about $175 million in projects going, but the stadium will pick up, maybe sometime in the future.
There's never a dull moment. And when it comes, now that NIL is shaking out a little bit, when it comes to Vaught Hemingway, is that something we can look to start in the next couple of years? Are we talking 5 years? What's kind of the timeline on that?
Yeah, I would say within the next probably 3 to 5 years is when we probably go back to that. We've got to stabilize, not only the NIL space, but some of our operational budget and what all that looks like. Obviously, the new ESPN contract kicks in next year, which will be a big, shot in the arm for all of us in the SEC. And so we're kind of, getting our bearings on what maybe a new budget could look like with some of those new revenues. But yes, we'll definitely get back to that stadium project at some point.
To calling in right. New partners too, Rip, maybe. This is a time to open up new opportunities. We saw with Arkansas, we saw this new money open up and these new opportunities. Alumni are great, but partners too. It's the wild, wild west. I think it's going to work out really well.
Yeah, I do too. And I think, you hit it. You've got to be open to any creative solution for revenue generation. In that we just did a concert here in the stadium this past weekend with Morgan Wallen. And, we're trying to do at least one of those a year. That's a big revenue stream for us. But this is our second year to do it. So it's something new and fresh. And I think Oxford's really enjoyed those. It's been a lot of fun. We'll start doing concerts in the pavilion as well, maybe 3 or 4 shows a year in there. But like you said, just finding new donors, new corporate sponsors, new everything, because it's a new world that we're living in. And you certainly can't, think about college athletics the way you used to. That's for sure.
All right. We got the business talk out of the way. Now we want to go to a couple fun things here. We end every interview with a segment we call 1-star to 5-star. Everybody knows we're the 1-stars, but we're trying to get better with advice and tips from gentlemen like you who we have on this podcast. So just to close it out, a few questions that run the gamut on a 1 to 5-star scale here. We mentioned we had Hunter Yurcheck on a couple weeks ago from Arkansas. You grew up there, and Nolan Richardson was the guy there while you were growing up playing high school basketball in Perryville. He didn't make a lot of mistakes as the Razorbacks head coach in the 90s. He won that title in 94. But he did have I'm going to call it a 1-star recruiting miss, because you were only 2.5 hours away from Fayetteville there. I know it was a big thing in your life. Did you feel like you were overlooked by the Hogs staff? And did you play with a chip on your shoulder at Ole Miss because of it?
Yeah, well, first of all, I grew up the biggest Razorback fan. And so 94 was my junior year of high school. And so I've played many a pickup game in my backyard. And I was, Corey Beck or Todd Day, which was on the 90 team that went to the Final Four, Lee Mayberry. And then they should have won it again in 95. They lost to UCLA in the finals, and Tyus Edney was out of that game. They should have won back-to-back, really. But, it's one of those things where we actually had a group of guys my senior year on our AAU program, the Arkansas Wings. And we had, I think there was either 8 or 9 guys on that team that ended up going to play Division I basketball. None of them went to Arkansas. I think one of the guys was offered by Arkansas. So I think we all kind of went off to our separate places and played with the chip on our shoulder. We all grew up Razorback fans, and certainly when you grow up in Arkansas, that's kind of the only show in town. But yeah, with me being able to play in the SEC against Arkansas, we had a couple of other guys on our team from Arkansas as well. So we might have had a little extra motivation when we played against, you know, Arkansas and Nolan, but no disrespect to him whatsoever. They were at such a level in 1994, 95. They were recruiting nationally in a top 30 level. And I was, I don't even know if I had a star back then, you know, but it's one of those things where you look back on it and you certainly understand why, but, and I'm thankful now, obviously, you know, I'm thankful that it all worked out like it did. But man, when you're 17 or 18, it hurts to not get recruited by your in-state, you know, your in-state school.
Were you ever posting up in the driveway with our guy, Rip, Oliver Miller, big Arkansas guy, I think in the early 90s. Was he, did you watch Big O ever play?
The Big O, what was so cool is, of course, I watched him play in 90, you know, I was like 14 or 15 and watched that team go to the Final Four. Well, full circle, when I was like 25 or 26, I played in this minor league up in Bismarck, North Dakota, and Big O was my teammate. He was one of my teammates after his stint in the NBA. He was still kind of playing a little bit overseas and in the minor leagues. And so I got to spend about 6 weeks with him as a teammate, which was pretty cool.
Hell yeah.
You guys must have gone undefeated up there.
Well, again, O was on the downhill. He was on the downhill part of his career.
Yeah, Rip, he was eating bison burgers. He was probably just eating a lot of bison burgers up there.
We ate well when we were around O. There's no doubt about that.
It's interesting the path that life takes you on. We mentioned you played professional basketball in Italy for 8 or 9 years, I think. And overseas hoops is really a path that a lot of American players take after college. You were basically in smaller towns your entire life leading up to that. I mean, Perryville, Arkansas is like 1,000 people, then going to Oxford. Let's say on a scale of 1 to 5 stars, how do you rate those years playing in Italy? It was almost the entire decade of your 20s spent overseas.
I would say 5-star plus. I mean, we had the best experience over there. And, you know, it was interesting because of the points you make, you know, kind of a small town guy and never really, you know, left kind of the South and, you know, just kind of my comfort zone, if you will. And my wife and I, we said, you know, we'd played in these minor leagues with O and others. And like one of the leagues folded 1 year and basically we went to practice and they're like, you're not getting paid anymore. So like we had to go home. Like, and so finally we were just like, you know, if we're going to keep playing basketball, let's at least go overseas, try to, you know, go to a place we've never been, maybe make a little decent money. And we thought we'd maybe do it for a year. And we ended up staying over there for 6 years in Italy. And so it was so much fun. You know, obviously the basketball part of it was great. And, you know, we were very fortunate. We got all of our money and the contracts were always, you know, decent and we live, you know, where to live a good lifestyle. But man, just the culture, you know, being around, you know, different people and not just the Italians, because in that league, you know, you had players from all over the world that you'd play with. 1 year, we had guys from, I think, 6 different countries on the team. And so our language that we spoke was English because everybody, that was kind of the, you know, which was great for me. But we also learned really early on that if we didn't learn the language, the Italian language, and embrace their culture, we weren't going to have a really good experience. But we had an awesome time.
5-star city. If I asked your wife, what's the 5-star city? What's she saying? What are you saying?
We're probably both saying Varese, which is it's a little town. It's between Milan and Lugano, Switzerland. It's about 30 minutes from Lake Como in the north of Italy. And it was fabulous. Like we had the best time there. We played there 1 year and it was a lot of fun. And just to put a bow on all that, this past summer, after 15 years having left Italy, we took our family back for 2 weeks and we were able to go and enjoy and go to a lot of the places where we played. And it was really cool.
So cool for the kids. Rip, my guy Rip's going to France in 2 weeks. First time ever in France. What do you got? What's a 5-star rec for first time France visitor here?
You know, I've only been in and out of France, like just to play. So I haven't really spent a lot of time there, but I don't know. I'm probably the wrong guy to ask you that. If you go to Italy, if you make it into Italy, you know, let me know.
I like what you said about learning the Italian language and respecting the culture, because I think I'm down to about 20 days here to start learning some French. So wish me luck there.
You need the essentials at least, right?
Yeah, yeah. The hellos and the goodbyes and the please and the thank you. Last one here, we're going to close it out. We had Alabama AD Greg Byrne on last week. And when we asked him about the passionate fans in the SEC, he mentioned 3 schools. He, of course, his own in Tuscaloosa. And then he mentioned Mississippi State and Ole Miss. We know that the Grove is legendary. We're out here on the West Coast. We see the tailgating scenes, the football Saturdays. It's something we marvel at because there's nothing like it out here. In your experience, let's call it, what is the 5-star quality of the Rebel fan base that makes Oxford such a special place?
Well, you hit it. I think what makes Oxford special is the people. You know, I mean, I think that when I came here as a freshman in 1995, not from Mississippi or Oxford, obviously, what I learned back then is that the people were so great to me and hospitable and just good people. And I think that's what we sell now. I was just actually with Coach Beard and a recruit right before I jumped on here. And he was talking about, hey, I got here last night. The people are so nice. And I think you come to the Grove, which you guys got to come. This is an open invitation to come to the Grove this fall.
Let's go. All right. Happen.
But when you come, like, you could come not prepared at all. Like, you could just show up and you're going to end up being invited into 20 tents and have as many chicken tenders as you want and cold beverages and you name it. That's just how our people are. And so I think the Grove is, you know, the Grove is a little bit of a blessing and a curse, though, because the tailgating is amazing. But sometimes people don't want to leave the Grove to come to the game, you know? And so we have to always talk about, hey, it's time to, you know, pack up the Grove tent for at least a few hours and come over to Vaught Hemingway and cheer on the Rebs and go back after. But it's really, really fun. One of the best things for me is when, you know, you hear about this group coming from the West Coast or the East Coast or whatever, that's, you know, never been to Oxford. They've kind of said what you said, they've seen it on TV and it's like a bucket list. And, you know, they'll either send me an email or somebody on our staff, hey, we're coming in, what should we do? And those are always the most fun people to meet that have no tie to Ole Miss. But usually by the time they spend a week in here, they definitely want to come back and they're Ole Miss fans forever. So you guys got to get down here and check it out.
You had me at chicken tenders. Hotty toddy. Yeah. I'm in.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. A lot of chicken tenders go through the Grove on a Saturday. There's no doubt about that.
We might be some of those that have too much fun at the Grove and don't make it to the game, but hey, we'd love to get down there, man. Everyone, in the meantime, you can go follow Keith at Keith Carter OM on Twitter. Anything you want to know about Mississippi athletics can be found at oldmisssports.com. Baseball and softball, like DK mentioned, is heating up. Go get your tickets, everybody. Keith, hey, you're doing a hell of a job at one of the coolest schools in the country. We appreciate you being candid and down to earth on here. We wish you the best of luck, man. Thank you for coming on with the One Star Recruits.
Awesome, guys. Really enjoyed it.
SEC football, NFL football, I can smell it. This is starting to become summer for kids, for adults. This is starting to become the turn of the sports season, which essentially moves us into NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, which are so awesome. And then the sports clock hits 12 midnight with really the best event of resetting the sports calendar for me, the NFL draft. It kind of is my human reset of... It represents, I remember going to family camp in the mountains of Prescott, Arizona, Rip, and hiking 10 miles down to like the town of Cottonwood or something to go watch both the NBA and the NFL draft. They're just, it's the new beginning. Maybe it's because we're Cardinals fans. We were always involved. It was always a dream that maybe we'll get a good player. The drafts, the NFL gets it. They saw it too. They're like, damn, this is a cool ass event. We should start doing it a little bit bigger and a little bit better instead of just in Vegas or New York or wherever they were doing it. New Brunswick, New Jersey, or wherever the hell they were doing it. Now they move us to different cities, and it's great. It's in Detroit. Downtown D is gearing up to host the NFL draft. Great city, Rip. You're a big fan of Detroit. We got some rumor mill going around with draft picks and what's going to happen with our Arizona Cardinals. First things first, though, where's your excitement level? And what do you think about doing it in Detroit? Looks like I saw some pictures. Looks like a nice open parking lot.
I'm always down for Little Caesars or a square pizza. I mean, I'm not huge on Detroit these days, but I'm always down for a square pizza, that's for sure. And I'm always down when my squad, the Cardinals, has a top pick, and there's a chance that they're going to trade it for more picks, which I think they should do. I've said it on this podcast before, but on a scale of 1 to 5 stars, my excitement level is probably at a 3.5, to be honest. Like, I'm excited for Jaden Daniels, who was on this podcast a couple years ago. And especially if he gets picked up by the Commanders, I'd like to see that happen. And really just excited to see what the Cardinals do, because I think it's a chance for a little bit of a reset down in Arizona.
Yeah, GM Monty Ostenfort, Mr. Ostenfort himself, he's in a nice place, a little bit of leverage. I think it's too pricey to make a deal. I love Marvin Harrison Jr. Just signed a deal, by the way, with New Balance, Rip. Does that lock you into being a New Balance guy, by the way? Marvin Harrison Jr. It's a big pickup by them.
It's gonna take a lot to get me away from Hokas. Let's see a wide receiver sign a Hoka deal, and then I'm all in.
Some moves. The Patriots, big X factor. We don't know. They have the third pick. Some teams are calling. I'd say the likelihood of New England not picking a quarterback is low. They need one so badly. So we'll see. Those Commanders, interesting, interesting situation, Rip. That's where the Arizona relationship is going to come into play, I think, with some Commanders stuff. They've really turned into kind of a recruiting factory. I read that they took Drake May out to Topgolf, and they did chicken fingers. He might have been a good Ole Miss guy, you know, doing some chicken fingers. But he really liked the recruiting process that way instead of the old stuffy Madison Square Garden video like they did with LeBron James, that cheesy-ass video that really lost them LeBron James. You got to meet the people where they're at. Go to Topgolf. Eat some wings. Have a blue dream. Have some tater tots. Let's talk about football a little bit. So Commanders may be doing it right, Rip. They might. There's somebody I'm keeping an eye on, too. We've got that Bob Myers factor. I like Jaden Daniels to end up there is what I'm hoping. I think that's a good fit. Get some tickets. We're going to have to hear about Raiders people complaining about all these trade-up opportunities. I can really see Daniels playing well and having a good time there. A couple fans come to my head immediately who will be so obnoxious if that happens. But ideally, maybe Michael Penix late. Him and Antonio Pierce seem to have some simpatico, some nice things to say for each other. Anything out of Raiders land that you care about? Maybe Bronco land, Rip? Does Zach Wilson, is this where he gets rebuilt? He rises?
I can't see it happening. I mean, did they try this with Drew Locke? Or no, they drafted him, but there was another quarterback they traded for and tried to resurrect his career, and it didn't happen. But I don't know, Ryan Lindley from the Cardinals. Who knows who it was? But I'm most excited about the trades because those are always the wild cards. Like, you can look at the draft order right now and make predictions, but when the trades happen and set everything else in motion, that's the coolest part of the draft to me.
Yeah, so and you got a lot of teams in that quarterback thing that could make do some action. The Rams are floating around. Seattle could work out some interesting things. This kid McCarthy, his name's getting thrown around like crazy. Could be first round, could be second. So it's great. So we're excited, Rip. I don't think we have a lot of direct crazy. The thing about the NFL draft, always some things happen exactly as you plan. Some things are just completely out of left field, and that's when the trades are involved. That's when you can trade your entire team for an offensive lineman nobody's heard about in the Super Bowl 3 years later. You know, sometimes you get the flashy guy. He's out of the league. You never know, and I'm talking to you, Raiders. Raiders are going to make so many mistakes. I can't believe the Raiders and the damn Broncos quarterback rooms, and these fans still, Rip, come at us. Maybe Bo Nix. Denver guy. I can see that. That makes sense. I can see him on a 500 level Broncos shirt. Bo Nix, discount podcast. I can see that in my head. That makes sense for me. Anything else on the draft?
I was just going to say, look at last year. I mean, all you have to do is point to that trade between the Panthers and Bears for the number one overall pick. And the Bears ended up getting DJ Moore, who's a star receiver. And then I think two or three first round picks. And now they got Caleb. They're going to get Caleb Williams. So, and then the Panthers ended up with Bryce Young. So that changed the course of at least two franchises for the foreseeable future. And like I said, those trades are the real thing to keep an eye on and the most exciting part of the draft to me.
Congratulations on having possibly the third happiest text message you've ever sent me in your entire life. And you've sent me wedding, pregnancy announcements, trip announcements. You've sent me lots of text messages. I think this is the third happiest I've ever received from you, brother. Have you never been happier than watching the Los Angeles Lakers blow a fourth quarter lead in the playoffs? This was ecstatic, pure joy from you.
That was a fun one. I saw it coming. The Lakers were at 15 at half in Denver. I've seen the Nuggets come back from those things so many times. And just to see the anguish on the Lakers' faces, that'll never get old. But yeah, Jamal Murray hitting that game win over Anthony Davis last night. That was an amazing shot, and just pretty much ended the Lakers' season right there.
End of the season, huh? It was the buzzkill. I mean, that was the best opportunity that the Lakers had to say, okay, we figured this out a little bit, and the Joker looked tired. Murray wasn't hitting shots. LeBron said, I'll take over from here, and it was just a wild slew of events. I'd say there's about five or six kind of things that you never would happen. Nobody's taking prop bets on not being able to call timeouts. I know there's some referee issues and some other concerns with those last play. The bottom line is the Joker tried to kind of do his same stuff. The ball gets slapped to Michael Porter, hits a big shot, and then all of a sudden Jamal Murray comes back from the dead and hits one of the most memorable. That's right up there with Kawhi's shot for Toronto. The way he hung, the way Anthony Davis's body, who that was great defense, Rip. Have you ever tried to shoot a fading jump shot over a 7-footer?
I don't even think you get it.
I haven't, and I don't have the footwork, of course, that Jamal Murray has. And I don't have any of it. I'm a one star, but yeah, it felt like he had 5 seconds to plan that out, and they executed it perfectly. And the craziest part too was Anthony Davis kind of fell into the scrum on the Nuggets bench, the celebration there. So like, add insult to injury, man. You get hit the game winning shot right over your hand and your head, and then you fall into that celebration. How humiliating is that?
I think you're right. I think that was the Lakers closing sonnet. It shows Denver, because that's as shitty as it can get to coming together and still not being great. That wasn't a great basketball game, but clearly the better team, when, especially when LeBron. Where are you, Rui? Isn't Rui 6'10"? Isn't he the size of LeBron? Rui, help this man out. Help this man out. Save the Lakers season or not. I don't really care too much. Suns. We're going to pass. We're just going to pass this week. We're going to even pass on the Mavs Clippers this week. I think those are first round games. We're going to pass like the rest of the NBA. Nobody's even showing the Magic or the Cavs series. I think the home teams might win those games for a little bit. Nothing too exciting there. The NBA playoffs, though, are really great for consumption. 40 games and 40 nights rip. It's always on. It's a higher level. I'm welcoming myself. I'm welcoming you. Rip Seymour is going to be pissed off at this, but I'm back in. This is when I open the door to the NHL playoffs. Hello, honey. I'm home. I'm here. What's going on? I'm here. Welcome to hockey season for me. Couple initial reactions from the playoffs. Now that I'm a big fan, Winnipeg Jets. Not even sure where the peg is located, to be honest with you. Is that an East Coast team or a West Coast team? The Midwest?
It's in Canada.
Let your free flag fall, Canada, in the peg, the Winnipeg Jets, dude. Great home crowd. Big rock out. They love hanging out in Canada, like in Toronto, in the center courtyards. Big thing in Canada. Big deal. Poutine stands out there. Cold as hell. They don't care. The peg representing. Shout out. Another quick notice. The New York Islanders. Clearly, the Arizona Cardinals of the NHL just can't do anything right at all. Up 3-0 for most of the first game against Carolina. I think they're underdog. Things were looking just cheery. Haven't changed those uniforms, the Islanders, since 1972. They don't even care. They lose, bro. Gnarly fashion. 5-2. The heartbreak goals in the last couple of minutes. New York Islanders, the Arizona Cardinals of the NHL. In the East, the Rangers are cooking. Seymour loves these hot takes. McKinnon for MVP. Joker for MVP. A Denver-Colorado sweep and MVPs. Maybe championships, but not for me, bro. Not for me, Rip. Here you go. You ready? The winners of the Stanley Cup. Lord Stanley Cup. The Stanleyest of Cups. The Oilers look like contenders. They're not my winners, though. Mark Stone. The Vegas Golden Knights. They're winning it again. Bring it back to Vegas. There you go, Rip. Who's taking this thing? Who's winning the cup?
I can't go against our Arizona guy, Austin Matthews, the only saving grace for Arizona hockey these days, star for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Last night, man, he had a three-point night in a comeback game, had the game-winning goal against the Bruins, tie the series 1-1. Hey, Toronto's a sleeper, man. When's the last time a Stanley Cup has featured a Canadian team? I'm going with the Leafs, DK. Austin Matthews, my guy. Let's go.
They're getting beat up by Boston right now. No chance. Switch it over to the peg. Or the Oilers.
Seymour, it's 1-1. Beat up. It's 1-1. The series is even.
You know how it goes, Rip. We'll see the Leafs. I like the Leafs, too. Those are great uniforms. All our hockey fans are just slapping their faces right now with these idiots one-star takes. And welcome to the playoffs, Rip. Welcome. It's nice to be here with you. Let's embrace it. 500level.com. NHL shirts. Pick them up. You know what's a good thing with the shirts right now? Pick them up and just chop the sleeves off. For barbecues.
How about wearing one of those down to the Grove on a Saturday morning for a football tailgate? You going to get any love for that, or are you going to get weird looks?
A 500 level or for a hockey tee?
A 500 level shirt with the sleeves cut off at the Grove in Oxford. What's the reaction?
You got to do it. That's it. You got to, if you're listening to the podcast, go to 500 level and just look for any players. That's a fist pound, two chicken tenders passed your way, and some brown sauce to dip them in if you want them to. It's coming your way. One-star moments of the week, Rip. And we talk about, listeners, any one-star moments. We're one-stars, real-life stuff. Bring them to the table. What do you got? What's your one-star moment?
Yeah, it was a bad one this week. It happened the other morning. I'm curious to see whether you've ever done this before, but especially with Trader Joe's. I love Trader Joe's, but a lot of their products go bad quickly. Talking about milk, you open the milk jug and it's usually bad in like 3 days after you open it. A lot of the dairy stuff goes bad really quickly at Trader Joe's, universally known. But I had some jam, some strawberry jam from Trader Joe's. I bought a couple weeks ago, opened it. I had almond butter and jelly sandwich. I eat those a lot now. And so I opened it yesterday morning and there's mold all around the top on the inside. But I noticed that if you look down at the actual like kind of pile of jam, there was no mold. So I went after it. I went ahead and did it. I was halfway through making my sandwich. I took the spoon, mixed it around, tried to not get any mold in it, but put the jam on my sandwich. So I don't know, man. I woke up with a sore throat today. I don't know if there's any correlation, but I went for it. One star moment of the week. I ate some possibly moldy Trader Joe's strawberry jam. You ever do that before?
Just go ahead and mount it to the rafters at Trader Joe's. There's a handful of things that you shouldn't do at this age. We're 40, listeners. You don't get anything at Trader Joe's at all besides snacks. At all. We know the meat sucks. We know that their fruits and vegetables are the worst, the smallest, the worst tasting. Don't even think they're real. And now we learn today from my sweet friend Rip, eater of mold. This man could die from a peanut allergy, and he's risking it all for a. What do you put on? Just butter and jelly? Jam? What are you, English?
Almond butter and jam. It's like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but with almond butter. By the way, there aren't any Trader Joe's locations in Mississippi, so we just lost half our audience. But apologies on that. Trader
They
Joe's.
know in Mississippi it ain't real food, but the snacks, if you're going airport shopping, they should switch their whole model and just become a snack store and stop trying to fake the funk with anything else. So we know this, Rip. So thank God you're alive. Stop doing that at Trader Joe's. Take it to Ralph's. Take it to the Piggly Wiggly if you're down south. Stop doing that. Go get the stuff that you got to understand some jam. And we're not artisanal jam makers. So artisanal jam, if not stored correctly, I think has a pretty short shelf life here. Rips, your situation, you just got to go with the traditional stuff at the damn grocery store that lasts you 6 years.
That's why we're one stars, and that's what leads to all these one star moment of the weeks. What do you got, DK?
Schmuckers. Schmuckers right up there. One star moment of the week. I'm lucky enough to have my own bathroom. Kimmy has her own full bathroom. It's like a beautiful spa, hers. It's just wonderful, her own space. And I noticed a couple things with my bathroom that are very one star after a 10-day vacation sharing a bathroom, because you kind of forget about these things, you know? Number one, first thing that jumped out when I'm back to my own bathroom, my skin stuff is so shitty. It is just one star. I realized I'm working off a 99% empty, gone, de depleted CeraVe face lotion in my shower, which is fine. Not fine. I refilled it with water about 2 months ago. You know, like it gets empty, you put water and shake it. So I'm down to old water, old shower water, and shake and bake with my face soap. And I just think I got the last squeeze out of it yesterday. So I think I'm done there, but completely one star. And then there's a second item in there, two items in there, and some body lotion, three items, three. And I was never a loofah guy up until my late 30s. Maybe it was how I was raised. I don't know if we didn't do loofahs in Arizona. I see why they're problematic. Stay tuned here for why that. Now I love them. When I don't have them, I really understand how hard it is to work up a lather. You ever try to get a good lather going with just your two bare hands, you're burning at least 15 to 45 calories just getting a lather going. The loofahs, it's immediate. It's great. Easy. So I noticed when I got home that my loofahs loosened up. A loose loofah sucks. People know this. This one is hanging vertically off the shower knob, about 16 inches. It's gone past the hanger that's still wrapped around, and you still are okay with it. Now it's hanging down completely. So this is like a utility line of loofah that I've been using for about a month. So one star. Yesterday I was using it, and literally, I think the loofah disappeared into my skin with the body lotion. Toxic plasticity, Rip. I don't even know. I think it disappeared, is how shitty it is. So I'm going to Walgreens, man. I'm getting some new face wash. I'm gonna spend probably the $28 instead of the $14. Face lotion game is fucking nuts. I need a face lotion coach here. Every time I try to use my wife's bathroom, it's impossible. I can't use her stuff. I want to. So I'm going to get a fresh loofah and some face stuff today. I'm fired up. I can't live like this.
Hey, we're one stars. Our wives are lucky we shower at all, right? Come on, man. You're living the life of a one star. You're trying to separate yourself and move up in the world. You gotta spend that money, man.
Sweet Lord, terrible bathroom situation. My one star wreck of the week. I'm gonna switch it from negative to positive. Back to Costco. Just a huge W pre-made Costco meal. If I've said this one before, I'm gonna say it again. Cause I got multiple compliments, dude. Multiple compliments. You go to the Costco, you go back to the meat section, you go over to the pre-made meals where you got the salads, the big Caesar salad, the mac and cheese, the bulgogi, a little bulgogi if you want that. But what I get is the salmon with the 3 hockey pucks of butter pesto and some dill and some parsley. And you take those home rip, you put a little bit of mustard on there, some breadcrumbs, and you put a hockey puck of butter. Pesto butter on top of them, 10 minutes in the oven, 2 minutes in the broiler. You're going to have something to do the best damn salmon, and you're going to be a hero at your house, bro. Healthy eating and less than 15 minutes. The salmon with the hockey pucks in it of butter. You're lucky. You're welcome.
I think your problem is you're spending more on one dinner than you are a month worth of shower products. I think you just nailed it right there. That's you're eating well, but your grooming, your hygiene is off. You need to reverse that.
They don't sell loofahs at Costco, which would be a great buy. That would be a good thing if you're listening, Costco. The algorithm is how many is too much? 40? That's a lifetime of loofahs.
Yeah, where do you store those at?
Who knows, Rip? Who knows? One star rec for you. What's your recommendation for the world? Make everybody happier. Make the world a better place, man.
I have an interesting one this week. I don't think I've ever recommended an article before, but my recommendation of the week this week is an ESPN article that came out this morning, actually yesterday, Tuesday, April 23rd, by Tim McMahon, senior staff writer. It's an article about Rudy Gobert, who's probably the most polarizing player in the NBA, aside from possibly Draymond Green. And it kind of goes into his history. He contacted Aaron Rodgers to ask about a darkness retreat and talks about his childhood growing up in France and kind of why he is the way he is. And like I said, a lot of people hate Rudy Gobert. He's very polarizing. I'm not sure there's many people that actually love him aside from maybe T-Wolves fans or his teammates. But it's very interesting because it gives you his perspective on things and why he thinks that people don't really like him. He's a French guy that's won a lot of awards, doesn't put up huge stats, but I was really interested in it because obviously our sons are playing the T-Wolves right now. I'm not going to say it made me like Rudy Gobert by any means, but it just gives a different perspective on the guy and his career so far. He's probably a Hall of Famer, which is crazy to think about, but he's got a lot of Defensive Player of the Year awards and really does impact the game in a certain way. So check that out, ESPN.com article on Rudy Gobert. It's called, you know what the article is called? It's called, Why Do So Many Players Have Beef with Rudy Gobert?
It's really easy, Rudy. You touched all the microphones before COVID started. Shouldn't have done that.
It talks about that too. It talks about that too. So yeah, check it out.
Yeah, I also saw that his ladies stood up for him a little bit, which I know in professional athlete world, we don't like our ladies standing up for you, but he's got a good team, Rip. Well, you go out there in France, Rip, you find yourself a Rudy Gobert jersey shirt, and I need a one star of you outside of one of the courts that Rudy Gobert once played at in the country of France, okay? You're going to let us all down if you don't do this. Can I get a commitment from you right now?
Absolutely not. Is his nickname the Eiffel Tower? Is that what the nickname we're going with?
This Somebody's is in name. Honor of your recommendation. You can't recommend an article and not go to his high school gym, Rip, in the fourth arrondissement. Rip,
that's
come on.
That's a big leap. That's a big leap. I might have a conversation about someone in France with Rudy Gobert. How's that for a commitment?
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. That's good. In an elevator so they can't get away from you.
There you go. One star, baby.
Rip's reactions. Hit the music. Scotty Scheffler, who could be your science teacher, could be your accountant. He could be, you know, he could work at Chipotle, to be honest with you. He loves Chipotle. Looks like he's the destroyer of golf that the PGA needs. This is the guy we've all been waiting for. And he came in the avatar suit of a shop teacher, pretty much. Rip, are you fired up? Is Scottie Scheffler the guy to save golf for us?
No, because the guy that saved golf was Tiger Woods, and he has way more of an interesting personality and off the course life than Scottie Scheffler does. If it was going to happen, it would have already happened. He's not a very interesting guy, I don't think. That's why people aren't really drawn to him as much as they were Tiger. So, and he's also hasn't just been as dominant as Tiger was, as far as I can see. So the answer is no. He's on a hot streak right now, but I don't think it's going to last.
Andy Reid, Kansas City Chiefs head coach, highest paid coach in the league. Is this a case with Andy Reid here that he's peaked? We're in Belichick zone here with him? Or is Andy Reid still in his prime?
The answer is obvious. He just won the Super Bowl a couple months ago. He's absolutely still in his prime. He's an innovative offensive coach. He hires really good assistants. He's got a great coaching tree. And he's going to ride Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and the rest of those guys for at least the next couple years here. He's still in his prime for sure.
$25 million a year is the estimated number for Coach Reid. Maybe great coach, maybe not the best dad. Some major issues maybe in the house. Too much love of football. Who knows, Andy Reid? Keep it going, though, if it makes you happy. I like him. Seems like a great guy. Hope he just loves football. This man loves football. Pay him $25 million to do more football stuff, Rip. Mark Wahlberg, the actor. He's got a training fitness chain called F45. Of course he does. He's being sued by David Beckham's company, claiming that the Inter Milan team duped Wahlberg into signing an endorsement deal, and he's seeking $10 million, Rip. Who you rooting for? And the rich people sue each other. Mark Wahlberg or David Beckham?
Two rich, very attractive, hot guys suing each other. I could care less. I'm hoping for a mistrial. What a waste of time. These guys already have all the money, all the looks, all the fame. Come on, we don't need any more from either of those guys. Shut them up.
Donated. The NBA draft. I talked about it in my monologue. It's coming. It's the true essence of summer for me. It's here. What's kind of cool is that the Hornets and the Kings and a lot of these teams really kind of improved a little bit with the end of the season. It's all a little bit weird. The Trailblazers were losers. The Warriors were some notable losers. The draft's coming, bro. June 26th and 27. It's not a great draft class. But who's your favorite player in the NBA draft? Who should somebody YouTube and check out their mixtape right now?
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to tout our guy, Cody Williams, former one-star recruits grass, who just declared for the draft this week, a Colorado Buffalo, leaving as a freshman. Going to be a top 10 pick for sure. Could go number one overall. Jalen Williams, his brother on OKC, was overlooked coming out of college, has become a borderline star for the Thunder, and Cody's got his genes, his game. He's got a lot going for him. So check out his mixtape and buy his jersey when he gets drafted.
One-star recruits. We'll be back next week. We're going to continue our AD tour. Thank you, Oxford, for being a host. I'm coming back. Stay tuned. Ajax Diner, City Grocery, Big Bad Breakfast. I'm coming for you. It's a foodie town. I'm telling you, it's a football and it's a foodie town. We'll be back.
Just a couple quick shout outs to DK, some of my favorite publications down in Oxford that do a hell of a job covering the Rebels in all aspects, every sport. The Rebel Walk, therebelwalk.com, at The Rebel Walk on Twitter. It's probably my favorite one. I've been following them for a while now. And also OM Rebel Nation, at OM Rebel Nation on Twitter. Anything you need to know about Mississippi athletics can be found on those two sites. Probably the best in the business, and we get a lot of those in college towns and love to see all the coverage for the Ole Miss Rebels, DK. See you next week!